Hi, listeners. Just an update before the episode gets started. This week's guest, Leslie Wu, will be leaving Metrolinx and starting September 1st, will be taking on the role of CEO for Civic Action and Civic Action Leadership Foundation. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of The Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald. Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring important conversations with the unafraid, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. These are unique and challenging times. Amplifying diverse voices is needed now more than ever. Thank you for tuning in from across Canada and so many other countries like New Zealand, USA, Australia, UK, and so many more places. Reminder, I love hearing from you. So send me an email at fearlesswomenpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram. Of course, tell your friends too. As you know, my book, Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision, continues to inspire. Recently, this was so fun. I was in an Indigo bookstore and they had my book on display under a banner that said Best of Business. Wow, what a thrill. And thank you all for your support in making it a bestseller in Canada. You can find it, as I said, at your favorite local bookstore, as well as Costco, online at Amazon, Indigo, Target, Barnes & Noble. If they don't have it, hey, ask for it. Your support is so important, and I'm truly grateful. Now, my book, Fearless, features 80 unique women's stories from Canada and beyond, and my next guest is one of the compelling women included. I'm pretty excited to have Leslie Wu join me today. Her bio is long and impressive, so let me highlight just a few things because, as I said, it's a very long and impressive bio. How about this? She's one of Canada's top 100 most powerful women, spacing Toronto's transit changemaker in 2016. The awards keep coming. Canada's Women's Infrastructure Network's 2015 Outstanding Leader. She is a passionate and influential strategist on urban planning and land development internationally. She's an executive leader in the transformation of Canada's largest and fastest growing metropolitan center, overseeing a multi-billion dollar transit infrastructure investments. Her official title is Chief Planning Officer at Metrolinx. She's going to tell us about that and so much more, including this amazing org that she has called SheBuildCities.org. It's a blog. It celebrates women city builders around the world. Welcome to the show, Leslie Wu.
Oh, Janice, such a delight to be with you. And thank you so much for this project. It's amazing and an honor to be part of it.
So first up, your role with Metrolinx. You are the Chief Planning Officer. What are you up to? Why do you love it? And why is it so important, the work you're doing?
So I've been at Metrolinx over 12 years, and I've been able in my role as Chief Planning Officer to watch us grow from a small organization with a vision to conceive of how mobility could be so much better to support the growth in the region, to support communities. And as the planner and the head of planning, I got to be one of the first to cast that blueprint. And to this day, that evolution of that plan, seeing it come to life, the impact it is having now in terms of our multi-billion dollar transit expansion program, which is spawned from that blueprint, to watch how we have changed our idea of a customer service and to be more people-centric in our operations, to be part of the group now looking at how we are also a builder of mixed-use communities with the development that's going to happen in and around our stations. It's been one of the most remarkable journeys, which is really being the carrier of vision into action. And as a planner and the head of planning, that's been my role, not just to write a plan that sits on a shelf, but to be able to actually take that plan and translate it into projects and actions. So every day I go to work, it's been constantly learning and expanding.
So incredible to see, to create the plan and then to see it in action. And, but what about this? You know, women leaders, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Why is that so important to you, Leslie, but also in the world?
So I would say, so why is it important? Well, at the very essence, it's in my DNA. I grew up in Trinidad in a matriarchal society. I was raised by very strong women, my mother, my grandmother, who all instilled in me that women actually have as much to contribute to their strong contributors. They can set the tone. They can give direction. And so it's in me. So when I look around at the society we created, the cities we've built, and then when I see the inequity and the disadvantage that women have in this space, I want to be part of making it a better place for my daughter, for her peers, for her children. And so it's very personal in that way. I think second of all, in what I do, which I see as city building, we have to do it with all voices, which is all the people that live here, all the people that work here, and that we create opportunity for everyone. And you can't do it if you are disregarding or marginalizing parts of your society, whether it's of different ages, of different ethnic backgrounds, of different, I live in Toronto. It's the place, the human experiment of every possible country has residents here. And we're, you know, making our way through how we get along and how we build cities. So it's both personal to me and professional for me, because it's, I can't be part of the planning for or building a better city region if I exclude voices and I'm not listening hard enough.
Mm-hmm. And you've also done this incredible SheBuildCities.org. Tell us about this project.
So Janice, this SheBuild Cities was an idea that emerged out of desire to have a legacy project from my fellowship with the International Women's Forum. And I was searching and reflecting on my own profession, on my own ability to have impact, and realizing when I looked around, there were so many women who were doing so many great things, yet they were not being showcased at conferences, at speaking events. And I had come to know and were meeting so many of them. So I thought if I could have in my little space shine a light on them through this website, it enabled me to do a couple things. One, learn how to make a website. But two, it was a great excuse to meet and interview so many women. And I continue to do that. In fact, it's interesting. It's almost 7 years now. I'm in the midst of doing a refresh on the website. But it continues to endure. And I think this and other initiatives I do, like the Women's Leadership Initiative with the Urban Land Institute, is all about spotlighting talent, existing talent, emerging talent, because I'm sick and tired of in my business saying, why aren't there more women at the board table? Why are there not more women execs? And getting the response, oh, we've looked and we can't find them. We've looked everywhere. And that's not good enough. And so that's part of what drives this energy. The other thing that's interesting about it, as I decided to have the Twitter handle at SheBuildCities, every day and every morning, it reinforced my energy for what I was doing just by having that Twitter handle and associating it with the blog. So it was energizing for me as well.
That constant reminder, it's so exciting. And it is really important to shine a spotlight on people that are doing interesting work in your industry. But you've also had the spotlight shone on you with WXN. You're one of Canada's top 100 most powerful women. What does that recognition mean to you?
Well, apart from the fact that my family gives me kudos, because, you know, if you have kids, you know how hard it is to get accolades from your kids. So kudos, great for that. But really, I think the thing for me is less about me to a certain degree. Of course, it makes me feel wonderful to be honored. But I, having received awards, the one thing that comes out of that is the number of young women and other leaders who come up to me and then want to learn about my journey and learn about what it is to be a leader. I get to tell my story. And in doing so, I'm actually being an effective role model for so many young women. And in particular, it's interesting whenever I go to a conference, after I speak or if I'm on a panel, it's interesting that it's generally, this is going to be interesting, women of color, racialized women, sometimes some racialized men who come and speak to me after. And it, which is an indication to me that the accolades and the and that that platform is enabling and I think hopefully encouraging others to take their big step and to understand themselves and their place in sort of the impact they can have.
Mm-hmm. Their place in the world.
Yes.
So let's talk about your In the Fearless book. And I'm so grateful that you were willing to share your story. First, share about what the experience was like, you know, deciding to, well, first agreeing to, but then choosing the pictures and telling your story. Give us a little bit of insight into that.
Well, I think the first thing, it's such a great opportunity to reflect. And the word fearless, interestingly, I never would have associated myself with that word. I think there's lots of things I think about myself, and I'm on this ongoing journey of self-awareness. But your choice of that word as the theme, Janice, really enabled me to reflect about what is it in my life that I've basically overcome. Mm-hmm. And that's how I chose this one story, because I went deep back when I was very young and trying to understand what was my first really brave sort of into the abyss, there I go, which was this time that I was about 8 years old, and my mom and dad thought it would be a great opportunity for me to spend some time in the U.S. So I'm coming from Trinidad, Little Island, going to Bloomington, Indiana. My aunt and her husband and their kids were there, and that I would spend some time with them. And it was a huge culture shock because in Trinidad and growing up, I'm very pampered existence. Mm-hmm. And living with my aunt was my first real, and it was a push. I don't know that I would have done or I would have asked for this at 8 years old, but to live independently, to walk to school myself, to babysit, you know, I was only eight, babysitting my tiny cousins, to be able to learn how to defend myself in a playground, you know, from being bullied, and to have the support of my aunt and uncle. And it really, having to think about that, because I know when I came back from that trip, which was about a 9 month time spent in the US, it dramatically changed my own view of myself and what I was capable of. And I think that's the thing about fearlessness, is just when you're pushed into it, sometimes, as they say, sometimes it's good not to know too much about what you're about to step into, and that you have to have a sort of confidence in yourself that you can navigate through it. You learn so much about yourself, about what you're able to do. And so when I think about that and I think about my career and the number of decisions I've made where people just look at you and kind of go, why are you doing that? When I decided to go work in post-secondary education and policy, which is not in my space, and I had a whole rationale about wanting to understand the economy and labor mobility, people were like, that doesn't make any sense at all. But in the end, it became a huge learning journey for me, not just about the topic, but I learned about change management. I learned how to manage large groups of people. And it was something that I sort of thought, and more times than not, Janice, I think I use my gut as well as my head, which is the passion that drives within me, as my kind of, I call it my gyroscope, not necessarily a compass. It's sort of two and three dimensional. But yes, so the story in the book really is about how that moment at such a young age created such a long-lasting impression, except it was in my subconsciousness, and it was only the opportunity of this book that actually enabled me to draw it out. And so for me, such a welcome thing. And then by comparison, I think it's the counterpoint to that was this photo I have, which is really, my back is to the photographer, but I'm speaking out to this really large audience in Sydney, Australia, where I had to do a keynote speaking on the future of mobility. And very empowering for me to be asked to be the keynote for such a large place and organization, but at the same time, still fairly unknown. You know, an audience is kind of a dark thing. You don't really see them, how they're reacting, but it is an indicator of the strength I feel today in what I do and the confidence with which I can now step forward.
It's a really powerful photo of you at the podium with the audience there. I love that. How have you developed that confidence to use your voice?
You know, I think what enables me is my complete belief. I work from where I want to have impact. I do my homework. I understand the data. I know my profession. And so when I come to any table, if I have a view, I've thought about it. It's not spontaneous. It's well thought through. And that, knowing that, because I'm coming from a place of fact, knowing that I want to make an impact, you know, what's the worst case? The worst case scenario is I'm silent and that view does not have a place and I'm not going to be able to be part of making change happen or transformation. So every decision we make at our executive, every decision that I make on the board, I have some volunteer roles on a couple boards, it's my opportunity to make an impact. So I'm there with purpose. And if I remain silent or I'm not able to feel empowered to have a view on what's in front of me, I might as well not be there. I'm wasting away the opportunity. So I see every time that I'm in a meeting or at a place, I see it as my way of making an impact and small comments as well as bigger ones. And that's what gives me courage because I feel passionate about what I'm doing. I think if I didn't care as much, probably would be able to sit back and relax a lot more. But I'm quite driven by the fact that there is so much work to do to make our cities better.
Well, I think it's so helpful for people to hear how you take this real intention and how you come to your opportunities prepared and that you realize that silence means that these important perspectives aren't being shared. And I love that intention that you bring to it. And I think it's helpful for people to hear that. But what about, Leslie, how do you handle criticism?
Yeah, well, how does anybody handle criticism? I think nature's first reaction is that, what did I do wrong? I think, it's me. I immediately catch myself and I have to say, okay, inside this criticism, there is something that I need to listen hard at and find out what, because there is a reaction to something that I've done or an approach to something, how I've approached the problem or the solution that I've talked about or the manner in which I have interacted with someone. And so I generally have to really take a deep breath, think about it. I also try to do what I call a 360 on the critique. In other words, okay, this is what I'm hearing. I actually try to always find anyone who's in the room or trusted members. I have what I refer to as my personal advisory board. I kind of seek their advice and kind of say, am I hearing this? Am I filtering this in the wrong way? Because this is how I'm receiving it. And I tend to be possibly overly analytical about criticism, but I take it seriously and try to be as objective about receiving it. But, you know, the first reaction, and it's okay, I always say, it's okay to feel a little hurt about it if it's harsh particularly, that's okay. And then once I've done that little bit of thinking, then I have to make a decision. Do I stand up to the criticism if I think it's unfounded? And how will I go about doing it? Or do I just let it ride because you know what? It was in the moment. I know the person and I can keep moving on. So, you know, criticism can be very constructive. But, you know, criticism for the sake of people wanting to be harsh or not well-intended, that's what you need to stand up against. But, you know, I would say check all your points and make sure you've got everything thought, you know, do your research before you respond. I think that's how I would say it.
How do you decide, Leslie, who gets your time and talent? Because as you mentioned, you're active on several volunteer boards.
I think I make choices based on, it's generally very deliberate in the sense that you know, opportunities come, but I have sort of a bunch of criteria, which is around, is the organization aligned with my values, number one. Mm-hmm. What can I bring to the table? You know, having the word board member on a CV is nice, but am I really going to bring value to the conversation and can I contribute? And then will I, you know, volunteer time in particular, this is your free time that could be spent with your family, with your community. Am I passionate about what is in front of the organization? Do I believe in the mission? Does it drive me and does it keep me excited? And is it fun? Are the people that I'm going to be spending time with, am I going to enjoy it? Are we going to laugh? And those are the kinds of things that go through my mind when I'm thinking about how to spend my volunteer time.
It's, I think, really helpful to think about the fun piece.
Yes, exactly.
You know, exactly. To your point, it is our the time that we have, you know, this is our additional time. So how do we want to spend it? And it's okay, I think, to have fun as one of the considerations.
Criteria, yes. Yes, definitely.
So what are you reading right now, Leslie?
Oh, there's a book I'm reading right now. It's funny. It's right here. It's by Aris Bonnet. It's called What Works.
Oh, mm-hmm. From Harvard.
Gender Equality. Yes. Gender Equality by Design. Mm-hmm. And so that's one. I'm one of these people that has like four things opened up at the same time. The other thing, which is a much shorter read, is I'm a big fan of the New York Times. So this weekend's New York Times Magazine had a whole series of articles about what the Black Lives Matter and how it's affecting the U.S. and police defunding. And yeah, because I'm just... trying to stay and understand the challenges and the issues that we're all facing globally now. So two things.
Two very good ones. The Gender by Design, is that what it is?
Yeah, Gender Equality by Design. Yes, the Bonnet.
Yeah, that's a fabulous book. And yeah. I have recommended that to many people. I find it so practical, the design yes. elements. And yes. I think as a planner, you would appreciate it too.
Yes. Well, also mm-hmm. trying to tell us what, you know, it's really interesting. We've been having this long discussion at work around diversity, inclusion and training. And, you know, as Bonnet said in this work, you know, training is, it raises awareness, but there's so much more that we need to do. And I think, you know, we're really trying to figure out what action should we as an organization be doing. And that's part of why I'm reading this book mm-hmm. right
it's
at
so
this
practical.
Moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember in there she talks about in hotels, for example, when they wanted people to turn out the lights when they would leave their room. Mm-hmm. You know, putting a nice sign and a reminder didn't always get the same kind of outcome as actually having the key card that goes in when the lights
exactly.
are on. And, you know, and so that design piece, how that actually changes behavior.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking about that in gender equality. Yeah, fascinating book. I love that. So, Leslie, final question. What is your dream for Canada?
I dream for Canada that it continues to grow to be a kind and caring nation. So its ability to all, I mean, as someone who has come from another country, I'm not born here, Canada has been welcoming. It has created great opportunity for me because so many people have been part of my story. And I think, so that's one piece. I think, you know, at its heart, that it continues to have heart. And I think then the second part of my hope for Canada is that we are able to swiftly cast a journey that everyone can understand of how to deal with the country's long history with its Indigenous peoples. Mm-hmm. And I think that is going to be part of our ability to move forward so that we have prosperity for everyone, that we can learn so much in terms of how we can be better able to create a sustainable environment. And I think it will help us all as well improve the quality of life for everyone. So, we are humans, and the one thing that we're great is about our ability to have heart and care for each other as a society. And I think that is something that Canada has offered to me. And I, when you see what's happening in the South, you just kind of hope, we need to dig deeper in that space.
It's a beautiful dream for Canada. You've been listening to Leslie Wu, award-winning, really inspiring. She's the creator of the blog SheBuildsCities.org. And also, her official title is Chief Planning Officer at Metrolinx, an important voice in Canada. And I'm so delighted that you were able to share your time and your perspective with us today, Leslie. Leslie Wu, thank you so much for being on the Fearless Women podcast.
Thank you, Janice, and congratulations for such an amazing initiative.
Thank you again.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.